to stay with you longer. But I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends his Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You on In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm Father Dermot Roach from the SMA Fathers, and believe it or not, I am live on this beautiful September Thursday. It's been a while since I've been kind of connected live, and a while since I've been with my better half, as she calls me, the dynamic duo, as some others have beautifully put us together. So I'm very happy Kathy will be with us in a few minutes, and hopefully we can have this beautiful hour with you to share all the blessings of the Almighty God, to share the beauty of His Word and the teaching of His Word through the Holy Spirit. It's a hot one out there. In fact, the Indian summer is really scorching us this time. But hey, we thank God that we have the day to live, you know. I want to open up this hour by giving praise and thanks to you, Almighty God, you, the Lord of Lords, who give us these days, whether they're cold or hot, but days given to us as a gift, as a grace, that we can use it to the best of our ability to give you the greater glory. I praise and thank you for the gift of this day, for the gift of our faith, the gift of our friends, and the gift of this tremendous ministry network that continuously it broadcasts through the internet, through the radio, with the proclamation to bring God's love to the whole world, to set the world on fire, to teach, to preach, and to heal through God's infinite mercy. And Lord, I also come to open up to say thank you for all of our listener supporters, and our prayer warriors and friends who remain united all the time to make this a great possibility. And since I'm bringing it up before you, Lord, I want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you to all who have been praying for so long, especially in the winter months when I was in deep, deep recovery and with a very serious spinal surgery. As the recovery continues, as I call it, it's a long one, but a sure one. And I want to let everybody know it's a sure one. A little bit longer than I expected, but hey, I'm walking. I'm not yet dancing, and I'm not yet having a jig, but I am I'm back giving service and glory to the Lord little by little. And for that, I thank you all. We begin today with the gospel of the day, keeping in mind that we always try to break this open and to let God's love shine through us. So I will begin today with the gospel of St. Luke. This is Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. While the crowd was pressing on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out for a short distance from the shore. And then he sat down and he taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Lord, Master, we've worked hard all night and we've caught nothing, but at your command, I will lower the nets." And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish. Their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats so that they were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus, and he said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made, seized him and all who were with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So, this is a very, very interesting gospel because it comes down to not only the call of some of the apostles at the beginning, how Jesus was literally going from town to town, knowing who he had in his heart to choose, but he put it all into a particular scenario to be radical and to be a little bit dramatic, to make a point to them. And here we have this beautiful scenario. Jesus is there, he's teaching. Those of you who have been to Galilee will know, if you've been to the Holy Land, it's a very beautiful part of Israel. It's green, it's lush, and anywhere by the shore area, the lake shore, is absolutely gorgeous. There he is, giving his teaching, and when it was done, he's looking at these guys. And these guys, if you know fishermen, or you have anybody in your family, you know timing is of the essence. The elements that you have to fight against is of the essence. The weather, the seasons. And if you're not always there, it's a hit and miss sometimes. And sometimes you can come back with very little, and sometimes you can come back when it's full. And here, Simon hears Jesus say, "Hey, go back out there." Now imagine, they're coming in, hauling in from their boats. They've been out on in the sea. They've been throwing nets. They've been taking it to the left, taking it to the right, bringing their boats to different sections of the sea. They're tired. You know, they're pulling in the boats. They're wrapping things up for the day or for the evening. And Jesus says, "Hey, go back out there." Imagine how you and I would feel, even coming in from work at 6 o'clock when you're just tired and you want dinner on the table, and somebody says, "Hey, get back out there." And yet, he was listening. But Peter did what you and I did. There was a bitter complaint. "Wait a second," he says. "We've already been out there. Master, we worked hard all night. There's nothing there." And Jesus just looks and says, "Put it out there." But because Jesus commanded, he was compelled by the authority of Jesus, and he brings it out. And that's when the miracle takes place. Because it's here, when all of the the action starts happening. That both boats, I now have to be almost towed, if you will, from the weight of the types of fish that were being put before them. They threw the nets in, and notice what Jesus said. He says, "Put out into the deep. Don't go to the areas that you've already known. Take the boats and go out into the deep." He was asking to take a big risk. Go to places where they really weren't used to, and probably where they would turn around and say, "What are you, out of your mind? Fish are never there. You're never going to find anything there." And there was so much fish, and many different gospel commentaries for the different synoptics speak about the different types of fish, sizes, species. And when they brought to the shore, you can only imagine what they were like. They probably didn't have to work for a month, you know, with all that they sold. Simon Peter gets hit. He gets hit or struck, pierced to the center of his being. And he says, "Oh my God, you really are God." And he says, "Please go away from me, Lord. You're doing this for me freely. Freely. I'm a sinful man. You're looking at the wrong guy. I don't know why you're choosing me. You're looking at the wrong guy here. Please, Lord, go away from me." And the Lord says, "Hey, shh, don't be afraid. From now on, you won't be fishing for this type of fish. You won't be out there in the sea catching tilapia or salmon or grouper or trout. You're going to be out in another way. You're going to go out into the deep in a totally different way. You're going to be fishing for men. You're going to be fishing for souls. Souls, Jesus was saying, Peter, the souls that I long for, the souls that I would weep for, that I long to be united with men." And all he says to them right after that is, "If you want this, leave all this. You want to fish for men? Come follow me." And so he does, along with Peter, James, and John, go and follow him as well. They leave everything. Sometimes they kept going back, but that's not the point. The point was that they took the risk. They took the risk of faith. They took a leap of faith. They stepped out of their comfort zone, and they took a big step into grace. Grace is a big part of today's readings, both to the Colossians as well as here in the Gospel. Grace that is freely given. Grace that can only come from God. Grace that flows in abundance. And it's waiting for each and every one of you. It was waiting for Peter, James, and John, and all he was waiting for there was their yes for them to step into it. So they did. And it becomes this radical move for them, obviously, because their whole lives were changed. And they spend the next 3 years walking with this man, and they watch Jesus spend the first year and a half trying to save his own, as he would tenderly call them the lost sheep of Israel. All the years since the time of the Exodus, and all the times that they were unfaithful, and the way that they kept dividing among themselves and kind of forming their own types of idolatries, the Lord was worried about them. And he came to seek the lost. That was his original mission. And then no matter what he did, he couldn't grab them the same way that he was able to grab when he went way out into the deep. Ponder for a moment in the area of the Holy Land where they were, the established churches or the Jewish people, I'm using that as the example. They were so established that everybody else was different from them. So you had the Samaritans. You had all the other Gentiles that would join them, the Phoenicians and the Greeks and the Persians, and they were the outsiders. But yet in the second half of Jesus' mission, the second half, when he realizes that he can't make any impact on his own kind, he puts those nets way out into the deep to the Phoenicians and the Persians and the Samaritans, all these Gentiles that were all surrounded in the surrounding area. And he got more response from them, who didn't even know the God of Israel, than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yahweh. They didn't even know. But they immediately were able to come to know Jesus, the fulfillment of the Old Testament. They just came and they began to draw closer to him. And the second half of his ministry prior to his crucifixion was all fishing for the deep, going out into the deep. And they were all the people that weren't of the Jewish faith, which is really fascinating, which is everything that he was predicting for Peter. And along comes this whole mission that Peter and the apostles now have to follow. So they're watching this. And as time goes on, the movement of the Spirit to inspire them more and more, they just begin to soak this up to realize that's what it means to throw out into the deep. So they had to make radical changes in their lives. And it wasn't really until Pentecost when they received their illumination and their forgiveness and their transformation, and all these gifts were just bursting through them with a holy boldness, that it all came together, that then they really knew that we're going to go fishing, but we're going to go fishing out of the command that Jesus said, the most important command of everything else that we have in our Catholic faith and preaching the gospel. The most important and fundamental is you go out there and you preach to all the nations and you baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Can you imagine that? They went out into the deep in areas that they didn't even know existed. And from that tiny little country of Israel, which is probably as big, if not smaller, than the state of New Jersey, they brought the gospel to the far reaches of Asia, Europe, and Africa. That was their world, to people that had never even heard of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. St. Paul went to the Greeks, to Thessalonica, for example, Colossia, for example, with the Ephesians, when he went to Ephesus in Turkey. These were people that had many, many, many gods. These were people that didn't understand anything until he was preaching them the truth. St. Thomas went all the way over to India, and he planted the gospel there. There was northern Africa. We had all of Rome, and there was all the surrounding areas of the Middle East as well. Philip, Bartholomew, James, they all went out. They went out into the deep. And just like they went out into the deep in the sea, they must have been nervous, wondering, where is this all going to go? But if they brought themselves back to that moment when they were in that boat, in an area of the Sea of Galilee that was way out in the deep, in an area that they normally didn't go to, certainly they were brought with great confidence and courage from the Lord to say, it's okay, don't be afraid. I'll bring these souls to you. You just catch them in the net, and then you bring them to me. Hmm. It's fascinating. It's so beautiful, but the message calls us to a radical change, but the message also calls us, in our own way, to absolutely 110% give of ourselves beyond what we know, beyond what we normally do. We're called step out of our own comfort zone, to step into grace, to be endowed with a holy boldness to say, okay, I'm going to go to the peripheries and save some souls. Look at the mess we're in today. Do we have the same situation? In many ways, it's actually worse than the times of the apostles. You want to talk about going out into the deep? You're going out into the deep, dark realms of the world. You're going out into the deep, cold, godless, selfish environment that's all around us. Going out into a world where you're trying to cast your net into people that look at you and have disdain for Christians, have disdain for God, have disdain for the values and the policies of life. And yet deep down, innately, there's got to be some good in there that can be set on fire if we put out into the deep and let the Lord move in us. Something is easier said than done, but hey, it is truly possible to do. You know, recently, I was thinking, you know, that fire that took place out in Colorado during that concert, whatever it was, but I forget the name just left me right now. Some people said it was so apocalyptic, you know, the crowds were out there. Can you imagine just being out there in those crowds and the rain that came down on top of them, the probably more rain that they probably had in a six-month period came down on one shot, and they all needed help. Those kind of situations are like wide situations where you have first responders coming in and people giving up their time, and you really see the goodness come out of each and every one. You take a dramatic version like that, and then you could turn around and you say, okay, let's just take the daily version. I go into the supermarket and I see some miserable soul. And that miserable soul, you ask, why are you so miserable? Most people will answer you. And you know why they'll answer you? Because they're longing to talk to somebody. They're longing to be listened to. They're longing to be loved. They're longing to totally, totally be healed. They don't know it, but innately, they're trying their very best. So,
amen.
Oh, there she is.
I've been here. I couldn't, every time I coughed or went to come in, I didn't want to interrupt you. You were, as you were going on.
Good. Welcome. Yeah, no, I'll close up here so I can segue. You can segue in, please. I was just saying, you know, that whole radical move of, what is it to go out into the deep today as opposed to the real Sea of Galilee is major. But we're called to do the same thing. Go out into the deep and bring souls back to God. God knows who they are. And they're going to be in places that, Kathleen, they could be in places so close to us right now.
Yeah.
And they could be people we probably even know. But to go out into the deep, because there's so much shallowness around them, there's so much darkness around them, that's where we need to bring the fire of God's love to them. So we're throwing in whatever our net is today, we're throwing it in there.
Amen. You know, Father, I want to affirm and confirm the fact that this was a great teaching moment, not only for the apostles, but I think particularly for the crowd, the huge crowd that was hungry for Jesus, hungry for his word, wanted to hear his word. And I was thinking, can you imagine Peter? Okay, he was out all night, working hard, trying everything he'd do. He was a skilled fisherman. I mean, he was a professional skilled fisherman. And he thought he knew it all. And so he had to be a little disgruntled. When he came back, he was probably you know, trying to get his boat cleaned up. He probably couldn't wait till he got off that boat. He was so disappointed, mm-hmm. so frustrated, and he's probably trying to get all his boat finished up to get off it and go home. And Jesus says, hey, can you go out a little out from the shore so I can get on the boat and talk to the people? He was probably like, are you kidding me? But he did it, you know, he did it. And then after that, he says, Lord, you know, I've been out all night on the water. We've been out and we've caught absolutely nothing, nothing. And so the Lord says, okay, put out into the deep. And I don't know about you, but I can feel Peter's frustration, Peter's disappointment. All he wants to do is go home. He's beat. He's tired. He's really disappointed that he had no catch after he spent all that time and energy on the water. And this is what really struck me. After he reiterates that he hard at work all night through the dark and caught nothing, he's probably saying to himself, hey, I'm the fisherman. There's no fish biting out there today. But then he says this, and I think this is what we all need to hear. He says, but if you say so, if you command me and you tell me to do this, I'll do it. Even though he was tired, he was frustrated, he, in his own professional opinion, he knew there was no fish biting. But something in his heart, like all of our hearts, when we're tired, when we're frustrated, when things aren't working out the way we want them to, when we feel like we're following what we think God's calling us to do and can't even supply the food for our family this week, and we're just a little frustrated. And yet, he hears Jesus say, put out your nets and drop them at a certain point. We know what happened. They dropped the nets. And in those days, the way you could catch live fish, bring them in live, was just to drop a net. Just drop it, and the fish would come into it. And that's how they got their haul. But they got so much that, as you know, the boat was almost sinking. If you and I, no matter how frustrated we are, no matter how long we've been praying for maybe to resume our health, maybe to get back to work if you've been out of work, maybe to pray for healing, maybe your body, your mind, or your spirit, and you're either praying for yourself to get completely restored, renewed, maybe a loved one, and you had it. But the beauty of God in this gospel, he met Peter where he was at. He met him in his disappointment. He met him in his frustration. And he says, you know, he was like, come as you are. That's how he wants to work through all of us, in our brokenness and our frustrations and our disappointments. He knows that with his work in us, he knows that we can accomplish anything in his name and through him. But Peter, in the end, Peter knew that. As frustrated, as annoyed that he was, and everything he thought would happen didn't happen. It wasn't in vain. Because when God's word is released, whether it was released in that lake, whether it was released in your life and my life, power goes out. When God's word is released, when he speaks, power of the Holy Spirit goes out of him. And that word becomes active through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's exactly what happens in our lives. If you feel like your prayers aren't being answered, if you feel maybe sad or lonely or broken, or you feel you got a long road to recovery, or whatever you're experiencing, God can work his power in you and through you. Just listen for his holy will, and then trust in that. We'll be right back.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
Well, praise God, we're back again. And this is our last half hour, and we used to always say, and I said it all the time, and every time my sidekick was with me, we would both say it, it's the fastest hour. And I want to thank Father. I was caught in school's back, and I was caught in a terrible traffic jam on the way down. So, Father, thank you for calling in and getting everything moving. And let's just continue on with the gospel. And if you're just listening today, we have opened up today's gospel, and Father took that first half hour pretty much to share his thoughts and reflections on that gospel, and I got in at the last few minutes of the half hour and shared also. So Father, let's bring it back. Let's hit those nuggets in this last half hour. What say you about God using us, even when we think God couldn't be using us now because we're frustrated, we're disappointed, we even, you know, you have periods of doubt. Is God really listening? Is he really he's taken home these people that we love without measure too. He's so many people are, there are problems with their health and their bodies, and they're emotionally sick and all these things. And we see today, no matter what's going on in our lives, God wants to meet us where we're at, in our frustrations and our angers, in our brokenness and our heartbreak, in our anxieties. He wants to say the word. And instead of focusing on the things that are wrong in our lives or which we feel are wrong, these are all opportunities for the greater power of God to go forth. Because when his word is broken open, or when he speaks, even in the silence of our heart, and we hear him, then great power goes forth through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's what happens in us. We are sanctified from the inside out. And when we hear his word, that word becomes so powerfully active in our lives through the Holy Spirit that many miracles can happen. Just like Father was alluding to in the first half hour as I was driving in, you know, still on the road. He got such a big catch, Peter. But God told me, well, don't be surprised. He was also talking about a spiritual fishing expedition. Do you have your nets out? Do you have your nets out to catch these folks that are living and walking and talking who don't really know the power of God, don't really even know his love or his mercy, or maybe don't even know anything about a spiritual life in Jesus Christ? Maybe they haven't encountered him. Will you be his fishermen and fisherwomen? Will you be the ones that will put your nets out for a catch, throw them out. Just throw them out and let God do his work. Because that's what we're all called to do by virtue of our baptism, you know. He sees that things are going on in our life. He knows, he understands, and his grace is at work in every one of them. We might not see it. We might not feel it. We might not even understand it. But because of faith and trust, we know that in the midst of it, he's in and at work, working it together for greater goods. And so we have to focus on, here we are, Lord. Let us throw out our nets. Let them go out and let others be drawn in, that we can cooperate with the grace of the Spirit, to be part of that mission of Mother Church, to bring all come to know, love, and serve the Lord. Go ahead, Father.
As you were speaking and reiterating Peter's response, our response, and focusing in on the negative and focusing in on our limitations, a quote came to me, and I know the quote very well. Don't ask me what date or whatever, but I do know it was John Paul II. And John Paul II said, "We are not the sum of weaknesses and failures. We are the sum of the Father's love for us." And he goes on and he says, and our real capacity to become the image of the Son. And I think that fits beautifully with everything that we're saying here, everything of the gospel today. Don't, Lord, look at me, I'm a sinful man. Yeah, I know you're a sinful man, but don't be afraid. You have the capacity through my spirit, you have the capacity through my paschal mystery to enter into something more powerful. You mentioned the word power.
Yeah.
So many of us focus in on our weaknesses and failures as if that's who we are. And the great Pope is saying, that's not the summary of us. The summary of us is the love the Father has for us.
Amen.
And then when we recognize, and this is the beautiful part about Peter, it took Peter, gosh, Peter went through baby stages and adolescent stages and all sorts of stages that you follow through the gospel about in the spiritual life. But when he discovers that he's truly unconditionally loved, he's able then, through the power of the Spirit, to do anything.
Yeah.
He's then truly able to take that net out into the deep, and he's not worried where it goes or even worried about himself. And that's exactly what you're calling us to do today, our listeners and whatnot. You know, just to always remember, we have that same capacity in the Spirit. But a huge chunk of it is if we spend all that time on our illnesses and our weaknesses and our brokenness and what's going on and in our little worlds and our situations, we can lose out on so much, as you beautifully said, opportunity.
Yeah.
That's why the Holy Father says we have the capacity to become. It's the same thing. It's just reworded differently.
Yes.
And it's so true. And with the power of the Spirit, we too can do enormous things when we throw out that net falls. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And Peter, I thought it was so cool. And so often, you know, we do this. People do it all the time. As soon as he was in awe, and that's what God calls us to be of when we see his massive power going forth, his infinite love, his capacity to be filled with mercy. Peter falls on his knees and he says, "Oh, get away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." And don't we do that? "Oh, Lord, you can't use me. Do you know what I've done? Do you know how weak I am? Do you know what I did yesterday after I came out of confession? Do you know this?" Yeah, he knows it all. He knows it all. He knows we're weak. He knows we're sinners. He only came to save the sinner. "Here I am, Lord." all of us take that same kind of thought that Peter took, focusing on his own sinfulness. And as Father said, which quoting John Paul II, that quote, he says, we are not the sum of our sins. And we're not. We are the sum of how much we can open ourselves up to the love and mercy of God. And we can't forget that. We can't say, look at Peter, good old Peter, the rock, and copy him. Fall on our knees and say, get away from me, Lord. I am sinful. The Lord Jesus Christ corrects him immediately and tells him he wants to work through him. He knows he's a sinner. And he says then, that's when he says these words. Read that gospel. That's when he says, Peter, be not afraid. See, we know our weaknesses. We know our limitations. We know our brokenness. But so does God. And this is all he has to work with. The likes of us. But him in us, working through us, when we listen for his word, we throw out our nets by evangelizing at every opportunity, not on some soapbox, more by our actions, even by our words, but we throw out our nets when we meet someone or see someone that's hurting or broken or lonely or grieving, someone that seems confused or someone that's so hard-hearted, have closed their ears and their heart to the gospel. That's when we have to throw out the net to them, so that in God's sharing God's love and his mercy of what he did for me in my life, those ears become more opened, their eyes become open, and their heart-heartedness begins to soften. And that is the power of God's word touching our lives in such a way that power comes forth. Yeah, we can't do these things on our own. That's why the world's in the shape it's in. We try. But when we are walking, and Jesus is walking side by side with us, when he speaks to us in the silence of our hearts, then that power will be released in our lives. That's what we have to focus on. We have to throw out the nets, come what may, wherever God puts us at any given moment. Go ahead, Father.
And more we don't know where that given moment is going to be.
That's right.
It's becoming more and more unpredictable. But, you know, even in saying that, he has it. It's like walking on the storm. He has it.
Yep.
He just, God, he said, my goodness, he's so patient.
He is.
But I think about it, he just waits for us to, I guess, get it, if you will.
Yeah.
But when we do, now, you, above all, can constantly attest to what it's like when you throw deep those nets.
Mm.
Notice how it says, everyone was astonished.
Yep.
What was able to do. And James, John, they were all like, everybody was looking at like, this can't be.
Yep.
We've seen it. We've seen it ourselves.
Yep.
And look who he worked. Look who he's working with in us. Like, you know, some people will say to me, "Well, who are you teaming up with?" I'll say, "Yeah, Kathy McCarthy." And they're like, "Well, who is this? You know, who's Kathy McCarthy?" I say, "Oh no, she's the real deal." And then they'll hear like a biography, but because it's something that's not in the total mainstream of what they kind of look at you and say, "Really?" This is, but forget about all the other stuff. Just come and see, and you will experience something of how the Lord works through someone like Kathleen, someone like the priestess she works with, and you will see mighty things happening, and you'll also be astonished by it.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus himself. Go ahead.
No, and many times people, I believe, when they are astonished, they're astonished even of what not so much what they're seeing, but as much as what he's doing to them at the same time.
Yeah.
And they're really, really changing from within.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, I cut you off. You
That's
were
right.
Jesus
no, I was just going to say, when Jesus was walking from town to town, you know, that's all you heard. Who is this? Who is this Jesus? But because of his message, they say it wasn't his, you know, the way he looked. It wasn't any stately, you know, sign that he carried on his body. It was who he was. And mm-hmm. as he went out and people started to hear about him, went to listen to him, followed him, and he was putting out the net the whole time, and they didn't realize it until the multitude started to come and follow him. And that's how the gospel works today. It's being willing to know that it's his work at work in us. God forgive me if I ever think that it's my power. God remove all the gifts that you have given me, and I'd be a fool, and it would hurt God's heart if I said you never gave me any gifts. I know he has. He's given all you gifts, and I know he's giving gifts. But I'll tell you what, he was giving the people in his teaching, he was throwing out the net, and that number grew and grew and grew. And in our world today, with the enemy running rampant, attacking the church, attacking the Christians, attacking everything that stands for good and holiness, the one thing that we have to remember is that he's at work and he's got it all. And we will have a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit on us. We might be a smaller church at one point, but I'll tell you what, that will be a church. Our church will be filled with the anointing and the power of the new Pentecost. And that too will continue to pull out its nets, and more people that are seeking absolute truth, more people that are seeking the very source of life and power and love and mercy will come. And no longer, like Peter, will we fall down and say, get away from me, Lord, I am a sinful woman, I am a sinful man. We will know that Jesus has called us for us to go throw out our nets and to be the disciples he calls us to be. Somebody said to me today, I'll be speaking up in New York, and said to me on the phone today, how's your health, Kathleen? I said, good, praise God. And she said to me, do you ever slow down? I said, I don't know how to step back. I don't know how to go backwards. That's what I said. And she started laughing. I said, I don't know how to go backwards. I just keep moving forward because it's the grace of God. And she started laughing, but it was absolutely true. We're called to keep moving forward, not to get bogged down in the past, even yesterday. And I'm going to say this. I said it at wherever I was on Monday night, last Friday. It was another quote, Father, and it was from Morgan Freeman. And it was profound. It struck me so profoundly when I read it quite some time ago. But I said it Friday night to the people of Our Lady of Fatima. We only have now. Let's get busy. Because, and then I gave them this quote, as you are listening to me tonight, as you're listening to Father tonight, there's people that died yesterday that had plans for tonight. Think about that. There's people who have died today that have plans for tomorrow. We only have now. That's all that's promised to us. And we are called to throw out our nets and don't tell the Lord you're not capable. He shed his blood completely because he knows that in him and through him you are capable of the impossible. Go ahead, Father.
Wow. How true is that? I was deeply listening to that, saying, yes, 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 yes. And I'm going to hold that because everybody can fall short of that act of saying, I've done enough, or I'm not sure if I'm going to go there. I'm definitely not going to go there. And we hold back our nest.
Yep.
We all fall short of it. More so, I think, now than ever, you know, because there's more and more judgment going on right now, and a lot more fear.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since the pandemic, there's been a pandemic of fear going on still of all different levels, and it can hold us back from putting out into the deep.
Absolutely.
But this, I believe, is the golden opportunity to put out 3 and 4 nets. Like, just take the risk and be bold about it. You're going to get backlash, but once you start breaking that mold, more than ever, those nets need to be constantly out there.
Yeah.
Constantly sweeping, constantly moving. I mean, if you spend time, some of the excellent Catholic apologists that have programs on, especially some of them from the Steubenville area, they interview people throughout the course of the year. A good portion of those people to whom they are interviewing are not reverts. These were people that never knew Christ. They're in their 20s, they're in their 30s, and someone, it's never something, someone brought them to Christ. And they tell their witness, and it's deeply powerful. People that were into witchcraft or Satanism or were just at nothing their whole lives, was living a life of, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll tell you that, oh, we had an encounter and there was somebody and their love showed me, their expression, their challenge showed me. And they're able to then talk about the faith. And then, of course, you're spreading it. More than ever, that's what's needed right now.
Absolutely.
So many people, beyond the conversion, I think what I call the reversion, so many of our Catholics that have just stepped back. They're in their comfortable little zone. They also need to be shook and really challenged.
They will be. They will be. God's going to be making some noise.
I know they will be. But we who have the net, I think we should be poised. Just be poised to swing them out there especially when they're shook, so that they don't sink. So we can catch them and help them.
Yeah.
You know, journey with them again and walk with them again and show them the way that they gave up or missed or misunderstood or rejected, that it is the only way. He is our only way.
Yeah.
So, we can't be complacent in a time such as this anymore.
You know, Father,
kingdom is waiting.
Amen and amen. That's the truth. And we got to get busy. So many people are controlled by fear today. The media tries to control people. There's so much going on. They figure if they can control you by fear, I guarantee you we're going to hear that all kinds of COVID's going to happen and people will be, there'll be mass and all over again. I think the people are too smart to fall for that this time. Coronavirus is part of who we are now in our own country, just like the flu is. You know, that's why they get a shot every year. But the bottom line is we have to know that this is the time for the church to stand up and shine Christ's light in the darkness, from the Holy Father all the way down to the youngest seminarian entering and every single baptized layperson. I was in Dominico, I got to share this because it's so strong right now thinking about it. I was in Dominico and there was like 3,000 people gathered in the Basilica. And they had their own youth track. And Father said to me, the bishop wanted to know if you would go over and meet the kids, the teenagers, the young, mostly young adults, teenagers and some young adults. And I said, I told him, you know, these are just kids. I said, I definitely want to go over. He said, you do? He said, you know, Kathleen, in this country, some of them don't even know who their fathers are. All families are so broken. And he went on and on and painted this horrific picture. I said, definitely I want to go over. I went over and I talked from my heart to those kids. And, you know, they were listening. You talk about throwing out your net. These were kids that were lost hope. They were recovering teenagers from different kinds of addictions. They were broken. Some of them lived on the street that they called in. And do you know what? Father, when I was done, I turned to leave. And I hear, wait, almost simultaneously from the kids. I turn around and they said, we're going to do it, Kathleen. And they said, can we pray over you? Father, tears streamed down my face. I knelt down before those kids. They extended their hands just like I extended my hands over them. And they prayed so beautifully that was a remarkable show and tell for throwing out your net, just speaking the truth for people who are hungry and thirsting for the living God, and they don't even know it. But there's a perfect example of throwing out your net, and you don't even know when it'll happen. And if you're always ready in gentleness to share the gospel with the truth, that power goes forth and people are set free and they become new creations, just like you did, just like I did. And so we need to get busy. God would not have one person who did not know the gospel. And worse yet, when I went home to the Lord, and could be at any minute, when I went home, the Lord, I would never want him to say to me, I would not want to hear the words, Kathleen, why didn't you tell so-and-so that I loved them when they were so full of anger and resentment, bitterness and lost hope? Kathleen, why didn't you bring more people with you? I don't ever want to hear that. We seize the moment while we have it. Seize the moment. Throw your nets out. And catch men and women and children and be a part of bringing them in to the kingdom through the grace of God. Go ahead, Father.
I think it's time to go.
We have 2 minutes.
Oh. Yeah. I think in a perfect moment, I just close with a thanksgiving to God for these precious moments, and that I can lead you all in a prayer.
Yes.
Good Lord, good and gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for that call, because not only Peter got that call, but each and every one of us have got that call. And although sometimes we can respond complaining, Lord, we still listen to you, as Peter did. And we truly ask that you help our unbelief, that we may believe deeper, that when you give us the grace to step out into the deep, that you will provide in abundance more than we could ever imagine. We pray for those who are out in the deep, who have yet to know your love, who have walked away from your love, that through our yes to you and our courageous and bold risks, that they may see Christ in us and may turn to you, their loving Savior. And may the blessings of the Almighty and merciful God fall upon this earth, north, south, east, and west, and to every one of you here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Blessed to be back with you again.
Amen. God bless.
Bye now. Well, that's the end of the hour, folks. And just want to say to you, please put those nets out into the deep. God has a plan. He's called you by name. Don't let him down. God bless you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia.